Today's Mass is the third Mass of Christmas, but I'd like to read to you the Epistle and Gospel from the second Mass of Christmas. And the Epistle is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to Titus, chapter 3. Dearly beloved, the goodness and kindness of God our Savior appeared, not by the works of justice which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the laver of regeneration and renovation of the Holy Ghost, whom he hath poured forth upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we may be heirs according to hope of life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem, and let us see this word that is come to pass, which the Lord hath showed to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the infant lying in a manger. And seeing, they understood of the word that had been spoken to them concerning this child. And all that heard wondered, and at those things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these words, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. For the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men. Words taken from the Epistle of Christmas Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends, this morning I would like to share with you a story. It is about a certain Franciscan friar by the name of Father Francis of St. James. Now it happened that our Savior appeared to him often in a vision, and our Lord appeared to him as a tiny infant. But each time in this vision, the holy friar, Father Francis, when he went to hold the divine infant, our Savior always fled away. And as often as he would flee from Father Francis, Father Francis would lovingly complain about this to our Savior. Now one day, the divine child again appeared to him. But this time, the Christ child came with beautiful golden chains in his hands. They were made of pure gold. And by bringing the golden chains, our Savior made Father Francis understand that he now came to make him his prisoner, even as he himself wished to be imprisoned by Father Francis, never more to be separated from him. Now, greatly encouraged by this loving gesture, Father Francis became so bold as to fasten these golden chains to the foot of our Lord. He fastened the golden chains to the Christ child and bound him around his heart. And from that time forward, it seemed to him, to Father Francis, as if he saw the beloved Christ child in the prison of his heart, having been made himself a perpetual prisoner. Now, my dear friends, the gospel of St. Luke, which we read in Midnight Mass, it tells us of the events of where and how our Lord was born. The Emperor Caesar Augustus had issued a command throughout the entire world that everyone should enroll in a census. Since both Our Lady and St. Joseph were of the house of David, they traveled from Nazareth to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem. And they did this in order to enroll in the census. And when Our Lady and St. Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, they found the city full of people who, like themselves, had come to be enrolled. And the Gospel says of Our Lady that when they were there, her days were accomplished. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him up in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And nearby this city, shepherds were watching their flocks in the fields. And a great angel appeared to them. They were frightened by this angel. But the angel told them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you a Savior," he said, "who is Christ the Lord in the city of David. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger." My dear friends, this is what took place on that first Christmas night over 2,000 years ago. And today we celebrate that miraculous moment when the Son of God became a tiny infant. For love of us, the second person of the Blessed Trinity left his magnificent throne in heaven, and he came down upon this earth to be born of the Virgin Mary in a cold, dark cave. My dear friends, truly today a child is born to us, a son is given to us. Our divine Savior has come to us as a tiny babe in Bethlehem, and he has come to us to simply accomplish one thing. He has come to show us his love. And in revealing to us his infinite love, he wishes to be loved in return. The great father of the church, Saint Bernard, once said that from the beginning, the world had seen the power of God in the creation. It had seen his wisdom in the government of the world. But then he says, only afterwards, in the incarnation of the Word, that is when the Son of God became man, did it see how great was God's mercy. He went on to say that before God was seen made man upon earth, men could not conceive an idea of the divine goodness. There did he take mortal flesh, that appearing as man, he might make plain to men the greatness of his goodness. In other words, only until the Son of God became a man and was born of Mary could mankind fully realize how good God is. Another holy author said, "In no instance has he so clearly manifested his amiable charity to men as when God was made man." And this, my dear friends, was the good tidings of great joy that the angels spoke to the shepherds. And that which our divine Savior did for Father Francis in that vision, in bringing chains to become the prisoner of his heart, our Savior really and truly has done with all men when he became a tiny infant. He wished with such an intense and wondrous love to be, as it were, enchained by us, and at the same time to enchain our hearts by convincing us that he loves us. But it is sad to say that man remains ungrateful to an infinitely merciful God. The sinner who is content with his sins, he actually runs away from our Savior. He does not wish to be enchained by him. But because of his infinite love and mercy, even this does not stop Almighty God from pursuing that soul. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, "God came from heaven to arrest, as it were, ungrateful man in his flight from him." He said, "It is as if our divine Savior said to man, 'Behold, it is nothing but the love of thee that has brought me on earth to seek after thee. Why dost thou flee from me?' It's as though our Lord said, 'Stay with me, do not avoid me, for I greatly love thee.'" contemplating this incomprehensible love of our Savior. A holy priest once said, "Who would not love in return the one who has loved us so much?" Picture your Savior then, my dear friends, lying on a bed of straw, holding his tiny arms outstretched. And he asks only one thing in return for all he has done for us. He asks for the gift of ourselves, the gift of our love. And seeing the mercy of God and the divine infant at Bethlehem, let us be truly moved to love him in return. Let us enchain him to our hearts and never let anything break this most special bond. That is, let us always keep our souls in the state of grace, never losing that friendship with God through mortal sin, even as we strive to carry our crosses and fulfill the duties of our state in life. You know, although we may be thousands of miles away from the hallowed cave of Bethlehem, nevertheless, that cave which bore the Son of God made man pales in comparison to the altar in this chapel. For that cave is empty, but we have the Son of God on our altar. In just a few moments, the divine infant will be really and truly and substantially present here on the altar, just as he was present 2,000 years ago in the cave at Bethlehem. And when we receive him in Holy Communion, he will also be present in our hearts. Let us then receive the bread of heaven, which has come down upon our altars, and make Bethlehem present in our hearts. And while you make your thanksgiving after Holy Communion, tell the infant Jesus that you truly love him, that you wish to unite your heart with his sacred heart, and enchain him thereto. Tell him that you will persevere in the practice of your Catholic faith. And no matter how low we may fall, nor how heavy our crosses may become, tell him that you will never lose confidence in his infinite mercy. For all we have to do is look at the divine infant in the manger, and we truly see that the grace of God hath appeared to us. And in order to make your Holy Communion most efficacious, ask the most blessed Mother to assist you. She can help you as no one else can, for she was the first as well as the most perfect creature in this world to hold in her arms the incarnate Son of God. And so may the infant heart of Christ, together with the immaculate heart of his mother, fill you with joy, peace, and the utmost confidence. God bless you, and may you have a blessed and holy Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.